Amen. Looking forward to that unclouded day. That'll be a marvelous time. And, you know, we ought to just sort of practice for those days, you know. Right. Just practice for them. So take a Bible, if you will, tonight. Let's go to the book of Exodus. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 4 and also in Exodus chapter 5. And we're going to read some verses tonight that we read last Wednesday night and then a few other ones. But just want to speak to you for, two or three hours. And we'll be done and on our way home. And now, those of you that are listening in, don't shut it off, all right? I know that you're tempted, but don't do that. Don't Amen. Shut it off, and don't go get another pillow either, okay? So stay with us. Amen. Exodus chapter 4, if we'll look at verse 19. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass. And he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, boy, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now drop down to verse 1 of chapter 5. And the Bible says, And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, Wherefore do ye, Moses, Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? Now, listen, Moses had been called by God to stand before Pharaoh and demand that he let his people go. You know, when you read your Bible, I don't know if you stop and really think about what's going on. Sometimes I think we focus on the fact, well, I know the end of the story and I know what happened, so I don't really think about the details very much. But you think about this situation. I'll tell you, old Moses had his hands full, all right? I mean, he had his work cut out for him. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God doesn't always call people to do such difficult things. Amen. He doesn't always call us to go and stand before an unfriendly leader of a country who is the king, who's got your life in his hands, and make a demand of him. Right. He doesn't always do that. But I want to say this, there's no reason for us to think that everything in the Christian life is supposed to be easy. Amen. And I'm afraid we've gotten that. It seems today that so many Christians just expect God to clear the way for them so that life will always be a breeze. Because I hear people say oftentimes, well, gee, why did God let that happen? Well, why doesn't God do this? Well, why has God got to make everything easy for you? Why does everything have to be easy? The last time I heard anything about this, they said that if you're going to develop stronger muscles, you've got to exercise them. And to exercise them, if you will, means that you put some strain on them. All right? You put some strain against them. Whatever it is you're going to do. You say, well, all I do is walk. Well, that puts a strain on the muscles and the joints. You're carrying yourself along, all right? Depending upon how much you weigh, it's more work for some than it is for others. But hey, it's involved, all right? It's involved. But we think, well, life, God's just supposed to take care of us. He'll just make it easy. But I'll say this, whatever God calls us to do, he enables us to do. I don't care who you are, he enables you. He'll never call you to do something that you cannot do if you'll depend upon God and obey Him. Amen. Do what He says, all right? Do what He says. Moses had a big job, but his job was, remember what God said to him over there in chapter 4? Look back at these verses, all right? He said in verse 21, he said, when thou goest to return unto Egypt, this in chapter 4, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand. Yep. He said, you do what I've told you to do. Right. And then he said, you tell him. You tell him, you let my people go because Israel's my firstborn. And he said, it's my son. And he said, you either let him go and serve me or I'm going to take your son's life.
Right.
I mean, God laid it out there, okay? Sure. And look, that's what we're supposed to do. We're to obey God. And I believe there's help for us today in these scriptures. I believe there's some things that'll help us. We need to realize this, first of all. Never forget, Egypt is a type of this old world and its wicked system.
Oh, yes.
Wicked world, all right? Pharaoh is a type of the god of this world.
Right.
He's a type of the god of this world. Now, if you attempt to do much for God, you're going to face Pharaoh at some point.
Amen.
So I want to preach to you tonight just a little bit on facing Pharaoh. So how do you do it? A few things. First of all, you face Pharaoh in the will of God. If you're going to face Pharaoh, you need to face him in the will of God. Do you remember the first attempt that Moses made to help his people? Remember back there where he made a choice and he said, I'm going to choose my people over Pharaoh's household. And the first attempt he made, he wound up killing a fellow, burying him in the sand. And then the next day, he's out there trying to, you know, referee between two of his own that are struggling and got some strife going. And they looked at him and said, hey, you going to kill us? Who made you? You say, what happened? Hey, Moses found out if you don't do things in the will of God, things don't turn out very well. If you don't have any desire to find out what the will of God is, you're going to struggle. And that's one reason that things didn't turn out well for Moses, is that he was outside the will of God.
Right.
You said, well, wait a minute. Didn't God want him to do it? Yep, but there was a way he wanted him to do it.
Right. Amen. Amen.
It was more than just do this.
Right.
There's a way you're to do it.
Exactly.
He was outside the will of God. Hey, listen, you and I need to be very careful. And when we challenge the God of this world, and many, in some cases it may be the government of this world, but when we challenge them, we need to be positive we're in the center of His will. We're in the center of His will. Hey, the battle we pick ought to be the one that's in the will of God. Folks, I'll be honest, you can find a fight anywhere you go. You can find a fight anywhere you go. And I mean a good fight, fighting for right. I'm not talking about a fist fight, okay? You can find them anywhere you go to if you try, but I'm not talking about a fist fight. I'm talking about a fight for what's right and doing the right thing. You and I, we can find something to fight over, but there's some things you ought to be sure we let Him choose the fight for us. Let God choose the battle. Let's not be the one that chooses the battle. You see, I don't believe young David, that day he went down there to take that food and check on his brothers, and they were battling the Philistines. I don't believe David went down there looking for a fight.
No.
But God chose that fight for him.
That's right. Yes, sir.
God chose it for him. God spoke to David, and David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? But he was in the will of God.
Right.
Look, if you're going to have to face Pharaoh, be sure you face him in the will of God. Years ago, when my dad's still alive, we were taken to court by the Birdville Independent School District because of the matter of taxation. They said you owe tax on the property you have, and we said we're a church, and churches are tax exempt. We're not paying it. And their comment, well, you got too much, all right? So that was an arbitrary decision of theirs, all right? We didn't pick the fight, but we thought it was worth fighting. But we wanted to make sure there's a lot of prayer offered. We wanted to be sure it was in the will of God.
Right.
And as everything turned out, I believe it proved that it was the will of God. We did what God wanted us to do. Hey, when you face Pharaoh, be sure you face him in the will of God. Second thing I want you to see right here, look at verse 1, would you? Verse 1 in chapter 5. You see those words, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Back up into chapter 4, verse 22. Same four words. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. You said, okay, preacher, where are you going? Hey, if you're going to face Pharaoh, you need to face him with the word of God.
Amen.
You need to face him with the word of God. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ did battle with Satan? Satan came and the Lord had been fasting, and Satan came against him and began to tempt him. And so what did the Lord do? Well, the Lord answered his challenges and answered his temptation continually with these three words, it is written. Those three words, it is written. What was he doing? Well, I'll tell you what he was doing. He was facing the God of this world with the word of God.
Amen.
The word of God. That's what we need, all right? When Moses was brought to Pharaoh, all right? What Moses brought to Pharaoh was what God had said. God didn't tell Moses. Now, Moses, you think about it and write you up a good speech, and when you get in Pharaoh's presence, you give it to him. That's not what he said. He said, you go tell him, thus saith the Lord. You go give him my words. Our problem is so often we're so prone to put too much confidence in our own words and our own carefully crafted arguments, you know. They sound brilliant to us, but that's not what's needed. That's not what's needed. What's needed and what we must use is, thus saith the Lord. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. Listen, when you're out talking to people, it ought to be, well, here's what God says. Here's what God says. I listen to people. I've listened to people who profess to be Christians. One of the things as a preacher you used to do before the COVID mess came in, you used to be able to go into the hospitals with people that were having surgery, and you'd sit with the family during that surgery. And there have been times where I've been in a very, very serious surgery going on, and a huge number of family members were there. And I like to get and listen. And so I was sitting there and listening to people, and they get into theological, if you will, arguments, all right, or discussions. And but I notice how many times people say, well, I think. Well, I think. Well, this is what I think. Now, I don't want to offend you.
Amen. Come on.
But when it comes to God's business,
yes, sir,
it don't matter what you think.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't matter what I think. See, what matters is what God say.
Right.
What does God say? When Moses comes before Pharaoh, he realized, I need to come with him with the word of God. It needs to be, thus saith the Lord. Why? Because the world and the God of this world have no answer for the word of God.
Right.
For the word of God. The only thing they'll do is, oh, it's old, it's outdated. Now, you just can't float your boat and argue against it.
Right.
It is the word of God. It's the truth. The Bible said, thy word is truth.
Amen.
It's the truth. The most difficult thing to argue against is the truth. Is the truth. You listen to politicians make their arguments sometimes, and there's no truth in it.
Amen.
It is twisted and bent the way they take the truth, and by the time they get through with it, you can't recognize it as the truth. All right? Just not there. But the Word of God is the truth. And not only that, it has the power of God behind it. Has the power of God behind it. When you say, well, I just don't know how to counter that argument. Don't worry about countering somebody's argument. Just give them what God says. Just give them the Word of God. It doesn't matter what they say. What does the Bible say? That's the key, folks, all right? That's it. When we talk about, well, how do you deal with this person or how do you deal with that person? How about just giving them what the Bible says? Just give them what the Bible says. Let them take it on. Let them try to overcome it. Hey, it's got the power of God. Not only that, it's eternal. It is eternal. Never grows old. It's always just as fresh as it's ever been. If you're going to have to face Pharaoh, you need to face him in the will of God. You need to face him with the word of God. But that's not the only thing. You need to face Pharaoh by the wisdom of God. By the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man would have said that Moses didn't have a chance at getting his demand. Here's Moses. You said, well, Pharaoh knew him. Wait a minute. The Pharaoh that knew Moses was dead.
That's right. Amen.
He was dead. So now Moses shows up. Here's another Pharaoh.
Right.
We don't even know how he got an audience with Pharaoh, but he did. And here's this fellow that comes in talking to the mighty ruler of the land.
Right.
And he says to them, look, here you go. Let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. That's what God says to you. Turn them loose. Man, how do you figure that's going to go over? Hey, you know, really, just from the human reasoning side, how do you think that's going to go over? Don't you know Pharaoh's going to say, well, sure, man, you bet. No problem. No problem. Whatever you say. Hey, the very idea that he had demanded such a thing from the king. The very idea. Well, wait a minute. It wasn't the wisdom of man that was involved here. Are you with me? It wasn't the wisdom of man that was involved. Take your Bible to the New Testament. Now we'll come back here to the Old Testament, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's the thing where, oftentimes we as Christians just get things messed up, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look with me here in verse 1. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God's writing to the church at Corinth, church like this church, a local New Testament church, and he said to them, and I, brethren, in verse 1, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, here it is, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith shouldn't stand in the wisdom of men. The wisdom of man doesn't have to back it up at all right? Paul let us know that the wisdom of man couldn't stand before the power of God. The truth of the matter is, Paul said, here I came, not with excellent speech and fancy words or anything, but he said, I just came to you with the demonstration of spirit and of power. He said, I want you to hear from God. You didn't need to hear the wisdom of man. You need to hear from God. The truth of the matter is, preaching is one of the craziest things in the world. If you stop and just think of it outside of a religious connotation, if you will, the idea that people would come into a building and sit down and allow another person to get up, open a book that's thousands of years old, open that book and take that book and say to you, this book says what you're doing is wrong, you need to get it right. Come on.
Come on. Yeah.
From the human standpoint, really, who do you think you are?
Right.
Who in the world do you think you are? From the human standpoint, it doesn't measure up. I'm going to tell you this. I've seen the preaching of the Word of God do what nothing else could do. Change things. Oh, my goodness. But it needs to be in the wisdom of God. If you're going to face Pharaoh, it needs to be by the wisdom of God. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, if any of you lack wisdom. Could I just ask this question? Who among us doesn't need some more wisdom?
Amen.
Who among us doesn't need more wisdom? I've never been at the point where I thought, got enough of that when it comes to wisdom. Never have. I've never thought, Lord, I don't need any more of your wisdom. I've got enough. I've got the answer for everything anybody could ever ask. Man, you'd be a fool to do that. Hey, the truth is, when you match wits with the wicked, there's a great need for the wisdom of God. Wisdom of God. Hey, the power of God, the wisdom of God to help you, to give you just what is needed, all right? Hey, this isn't a request for more of man's wisdom. Why? Well, we get in so much trouble trusting our own wisdom, our own ideas, man's thoughts. How often do we get in trouble there? So it's not a request. When James 1 says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He's not asking man's wisdom. It's a request to tap into the wisdom of God. It's not by the ignorance of our own stubbornness that anything will get accomplished. It's the wisdom of God. Wisdom of God. Hey, if you're going to face Pharaoh, it needs to be in the will of God. It needs to be with the word of God. It needs to be by the wisdom of God. But why in the world do we face Pharaoh? Go back to Exodus chapter 5. Look at verse 2. Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord. Boy, here is a marvelous admission of the utter ignorance of Pharaoh.
Amen.
But you can be sure of this. The world of our day differs very, very little in their knowledge of God than does Pharaoh.
Amen.
Well, we don't differ. Well, people don't know much about God. You ever listen to people give you their opinion of what God thinks? Well, I don't think God... And I've heard people say... I've heard people that profess to be Christians and have claimed to be saved for years make the most ignorant statements when they would say, well, I don't believe God would do... And exactly what they say is exactly what the Bible... What they say he wouldn't do is what the Bible says he will do. We're ignorant, man. So many people are so ignorant of God, all right? Don't know anything about him. Pharaoh didn't know God. The world today doesn't know him either. Don't have any idea. That's why you hear people say, like the Muslims and this, what was representative who was praying the other day. He's calling on the Brahmin and, you know, They think the Muslim God, the Brahmin God, the Buddhist God, the Hindu God, and the Christian God's all the same.
Oh, yeah.
We just call him by different names. Well, I got news for you.
Amen.
If you call him by one of the, if you call him Hare Krishna, you're not talking to the God of this book. And if you call his name Allah, you're not talking to the God of this book. You're just not. You say, that's hate speech. I don't hate any of those people. I'm just telling you, it's not the same God. People today don't know him. Now, they may acknowledge him, but they don't know him. People have asked me, do you know so-and-so? Well, I've heard the name, and I think I know who he is, but I don't know him. I don't know him. Don't really know him. Hey, that's the way it is with God today. Moses, though, was about to enlighten Pharaoh as to the identity and the ability of God.
Amen.
You see, when you face Pharaoh, it's for one thing, to witness of God. To witness of God. Moses did not stand before Pharaoh and say, hey, let me tell you about my experience. I'm the guy that's standing out there in the desert. I'm the fellow saw that bush that was on fire. I'm the fellow that was out there. No, he wasn't interested in that. That's not what he came to tell Pharaoh about. He came to testify of God. That's what he was there for, all right? His message was what God wanted him to give. It wasn't what he would like to say. Have you ever said to somebody, talking about somebody else, well, I'd like to give them a piece of my mind? Well, if we gave out enough pieces, we wouldn't have very much left, all right? But what Moses was doing, he wasn't there to see Pharaoh to say, I'm here to give you a piece of my mind. No, he was to witness to him of God. He had the message was what God wanted. His message, his method was to be that which the Lord wanted. Remember, he said, here's the way you do it. We're going to see that later on. It was, you're going to go before him, you're going to take that rod and you're going to throw it down, and it's going to become a snake. His method was what the Lord wanted. His manner was to be that which would please God. Hey, folks, can I say this to you? As God's people, as Christians today, we're here to witness, to be a witness of God. We're here to tell people about that, all right? That's exactly what we're to do when we face Pharaoh. In this world, can I remind you, you and I are God's representatives. We're here representing him. I don't represent somebody else. When I stand behind this pulpit, I'm not here to enlighten you with the wit and wisdom of Marlon Mosley. That do you no good. I'm here to tell you what thus saith the Lord. I'm here to testify of God. That's it. Our message is to be of him. It's of him. It's what he has to say. It's about what he has done. It's about what he is doing, and it's about what he wants to do and what he will do. That's our message. That's what we do when we face Pharaoh. Boy, have you ever stopped and think what a marvelous, marvelous responsibility we have. We're the representatives of God. The New Testament says this, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. What is that? A representative. Well, our country has representatives around the world. They're called ambassadors. They represent the United States of America wherever they are. You and I represent the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Hey, we're not here to impress them. We're here to do the will of God. We're not here to just load them down with our words, but it's this what the Lord says. Hey, you need to hear from God. It's God's wisdom that you need. I'm here to witness to you of God. Of God. I want to tell you about the Lord. That's what we're to do. And let me close with this tonight. Sooner or later, you'll have to face the God of this world and the wicked of this world. There'll be a time you'll have to do it. You're going to be given that opportunity. And I say this, please, please, don't shirk your responsibility. Don't say, well, I'm just going to let somebody else do it. I'm not going to speak up. I'll wait. Somebody else can do it. No. You have the opportunity. Don't shirk that responsibility. Stand up in the will of God, with the word of God, and by the wisdom of God, be a witness of God. That's our job. That's what we're to do. When we face Pharaoh, we face the world, stand up for the Lord. Stand up for him. Use his word. Use his wisdom. And whatever you do, give a witness for him, would you? Man, the world needs it. Why? Because the world today is just like Pharaoh. Who's this God you're talking about? I don't know him. I don't know him. Now, the world might not say that. But the God they know is the God they've built in their own mind. And the one they've fashioned in the way they want him to be. But you and I don't get that choice. God is God. And it's up to us to be his ambassadors here. God help us to do it. God help us to step up and say, give me a chance, and I will take care of my responsibility as a Christian. Heavenly Father, help us. Lord, I know the day's coming we'll have to face Pharaoh. Lord, some have already had to do it. We've already been given the opportunity to stand up for you in this old world and testify of you. But Lord, sometimes we fail to do that. We don't acknowledge the responsibility. We don't take that responsibility. And Lord, we disappoint you. We let you down. Dear God, would you help us not to do that? Help us to step up. And Lord, make sure we're in the will of God as we do it. But Lord, always be giving the word of God. Not in our wisdom, but in the power of God himself. And Lord, help us to be a good witness of you. The world needs to know who you are. We know. And Lord, help us to tell. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight. Well, I'm sure glad you came. Good to have you here. Try to stay warm tonight, all right? God bless you. Hope to see you Sunday.